Welcome to Series 2 of Too Young to Stay In, Too Old to Go Out. I aim to dispel the fusty myths and the apparent prerequisites of old age. My guests and I set out to prove that age is not just a number, but more importantly, a state of mind. Together, we walk you gently through the joy and despair of coming to terms with the golden years, while upgrading ourselves to what we like to call the platinum years. In Series 1, I had guests from all walks of life, including show business folk, musicians, photographer, a local initiatives group, and a networking queen. They all had their own stories to tell, but there was one common theme: the desire to keep improving, keep learning, keep developing. You'll hear that same mixture of guests on this series. The podcast has gained some momentum, and I'm longing for you to hear my new guests and what they have to say as we discuss their philosophy on aging well. I aim to bring you a manifesto for living a longer, healthier, happier life, and what reaching old age signifies to each of our guests. And there is one overriding message: say no to age discrimination. My guest today is one of this country's favourite and most talented actresses, Alison Steadman. Alison made her professional stage debut in 1968, and she went on to establish her career in Mike Leigh's 1970s TV plays Nuts in May and Abigail's Party. Since then, she's continued to triumph in both serious and comedy roles on stage, TV, film and radio. For example, you remember Alison as Mrs. Bennet in Pride and Prejudice, Pamela Shipman in Gavin and Stacey, and recently Gail Reynolds in Life. Alison's received many awards and nominations, and they include the National Society of Film Critics Award for Best Actress in Life is Sweet, and the Olivier Award for Best Actress in The Rise and Fall of Little Voice. Alison, thanks very much for agreeing to talk on the podcast.
My pleasure.
We won't go into the traumas of getting this set up. In fact, I'll probably cut this bit out. Well, the first thing I ask everybody is, what does too young to stay in, too old to go out mean to you, if anything?
Too young to stay in, yeah. Well, I think when I was a child, I was always wanting to be out and about, always, never wanted to be in. When I was a teenager, I remember my mother saying to me, "Surely you can stay in for one night, Alison," because every night I was out. And I'm, you know, still a bit like that now. I can't bear just to be indoors all the time. I have to get out every day. I have to walk. So even though, what, I'm 74, nearly 75 now, so I haven't quite got the energy I used to have, but I still like to get out, yes, if I can, yeah.
Right, so you do get out.
Yeah. I make myself, you know, the only time I stay in is if the weather's really bad, and then I sort of, you know, snuggle down to a book or something, but yeah, I love being out.
Turning to you and acting, how do you prepare for a role? I mean, some actors say they're particularly helped get a character by a particular walk or a costume or a voice or an accent. Or does that make sense, or is that too kind of peripheral? I mean, would you go more for the heart of a character and then see what comes?
Well, if the writing's really good, I'll take an example of Life when I played Gail, written by Mike Bartlett. He is an exceptional writer. As soon as I was sent the script and I read it, I could hear Gail. I could hear her voice in my head. I could feel her presence. Mm. If someone had said to me straight away, what kind of blouse would she wear? What kind of dress? What kind of it? I would know. Yeah. Because instinctively, the character was so clear and I just knew it. And that is a comfort to me, because when I can feel that, I think, yeah, I want to play this. I want to be this person. Mm. Well, similar thing on a lighter note with Pam in Gavin and Stacey, when I was sent that script.
Yeah.
Again, I could hear that voice. I could feel that woman, feel the kind of woman she was. And I love that. And then I love to, you know, start, you know, thinking of what she would wear and you know, and all those things. And kind of it's like a jigsaw just suddenly starts to fit together.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, so that's my my thing, is just hearing and feeling the character.
Right. And presumably there are times you see a script and you just think, that's just not a character I want to do or can find my way to. Or you just object to it as a piece of writing.
Yeah, of course. Listen, as actors, we're always grateful for any jobs we get, you know, and I don't want to sound too, you know, oh, I didn't do that, or I, you know, didn't want to do that. I mean, obviously, it's great if you're in a position in life where you can make choices, and not all actors can. Mm. And certainly in my younger days, I just used to have to jump in and do it, whatever it was, because you've got to pay the rent, you know, you've got to put a meal on the table, and it's not easy. I mean, I wouldn't recommend anyone to go in for acting as far as earning a living is concerned, because it can be extremely tough, and particularly in COVID. I mean, some young actors, I don't know how they've managed. I really don't. It must be hell for them. I mean, they can't even work in pubs and restaurants to, you know, cover over as they would normally. But yeah, I mean, I have turned things down, and sometimes I've regretted it and I've made mistakes, but most times I haven't. And I kind of know when the coat doesn't quite fit. So yeah, we've all done jobs because we think, oh, I've got to do this. I need the money. I've got to pay my tax bill, or I've got to pay this, you know, and so you do it. And that's part of it. Not every job can be 100% idyllic, you know, and wonderful. Of course not. You know, you've got to take the good with the bad and the rough with the smooth. And that's what, but when you get a job that suits you and you feel right, you know, it's like a warm bath. You just slip in and you say, yes, this is what I want to do. And it's great.
Is your stuff kind of filtered for you? Or, I mean, or do you not bother with an agent, or do you have an agent and they kind of clear out some of the stuff before it gets to you?
Well, I assume so.
That's not a personal question. Do personal question.
No, I do have an agent. Yeah. I could act as very, very difficult to cope without an agent. Because he's, all that money stuff and all that, and dates and all that, you know, you don't want to be bothered with all that in your head. And also, they get sent stuff. We're casting this film or television drama. There are X, Y, and Z parts, and then they look at their cast and they suggest people. And then they'll ring me up and say, look, this has come through. How do you feel about this? So, you know, it's that process. And to have a decent agent is extremely important for an actor, because if they don't put you up for the right things, or they don't bother, then you're not going to be seen, and it's very difficult. So, yeah, to get a decent agent is really important.
Yes. What amuses you?
What amuses me?
If you see something, it makes you laugh, and then you know you can make other people amused if you play that character.
I don't know, really. I mean, I've always loved, since a kid, changing my voice and trying to be different. That I love that. I absolutely love that. And I bore my partner to death, because I'm always kind of bringing him a cup of tea as another character. And I can't help it. It's kind of in me. It's not. To some people, it might seem like showing off or something, but it isn't. It's just what I love doing. You know, I love just sort of coming in and going, oh, here's your tea, darling. There we are. Would you take sugar? Oh, of course, we've been together for 50 years. Of course, I know if you take sugar or not. You know, like poor old Michael's like, thank you. Yeah, that tea's great. Thanks a lot. Yeah. Like, go away and shut up now. But that's me, you know, and I've been like it since a child. I used to do funny voices and characters for my family when I was a kid. I'd dress up and my mom would say, come on, you know, do us a turn. You know, she was very encouraging, my mom. And I can remember one Easter time, my grandmother came and my aunt, and I was about 19, I think, and I just started drama school. And I went upstairs and I dressed up and I put this hat on and the different makeup and a coat. And I knocked on the front door and came in with a 6 eggs to give my mother, pretending to be a neighbour. And my grandmother didn't recognise me. She didn't know who it was. And afterwards, it was so sweet because she said to me, oh, you know, I think you should be an actress. And I said, Grandma, I am going to be an actress. I've just gone to drama school. She said, oh, that's nice. So I've always been like that. It's just in me. It's what I love doing.
I must say I love doing voices because I do a cabaret show.
Oh, great.
And, so it's like, you know, 2 or 3 or 5 or 6 minutes or sometimes a little bit longer. If I risk
it. Oh, that's very brave. You see, no, I couldn't do that.
Oh, really?
Stand up or that cabaret, I'd be terrified. I like the sort of safety net of a script that, you know, and a camera, I can go again if I, you know, mess it up.
Yeah.
Rather than, you're very brave. Yeah. No, couldn't do that.
I suppose you just have to then get on with it. But if I can get a character's voice, then I can do the character. I mean, I suppose that's a bit of a cheating way to get there. But at least you've got to do someone quite quickly then, I suppose.
Yeah, no, it's not. I think all comedians, when you see them actually on stage, they're very different to the person you meet afterwards because they become, you know, a bigger, larger character, you know, oh, everybody, you know, blah, 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 you know, and they just move into a different slot, don't they, to perform.
Yeah. Now, how can I put this delicately? Do you think, well, I've just
failed. You're about my weight now.
I wasn't even thinking about it. And I failed to do it delicately anyway now, obviously. Do you think that now that as you're older, I mean, you think your skills and are refined? I mean, there are things you could probably do now or which you perhaps couldn't have done as a younger actress.
Definitely. Yeah, no doubt.
And what do you think?
Well, it's, you know, older and bolder and, yeah, I think it's like anything in life. When you take your first steps, it's exciting and it's great. But sometimes you fall over, sometimes you're unsure, you know. I mean, I think that's normal. I mean, not all actors are like that. I mean, some actors are kind of jumping right from the start and they're, you know, big sort of personalities. I wasn't like that. There were some jobs I loved, there were some jobs I didn't love. And I can remember being frightened of the camera when I first started doing television. I saw the camera as something that would make me nervous and scared. And, you know, and my very first job, my very first filming job, I can remember my voice actually going all hoarse like this because I was so nervous. And after a while, I can remember saying to myself, this is ridiculous. The camera is not your enemy. The camera is your friend. The camera is there to capture what you're doing, not to test you, you know. And I actually sort of did a bit of, you know, psychiatric work on myself. And it worked because the next time I was filming, I looked at the camera and I thought, no, you're my friend and you're there to film what I'm doing. And once I'd sort of started to think like that, it just got easier. I mean, it's you know, obviously there's nerves involved always because that's what it's about. But I could cope and I had to really kind of fight and do that with myself. And then when I won, it was brilliant.
Yes, I've seen actors on stage who I've seen before when they were younger and not, well, I've admired them, but then I've seen they reach a degree, or they can achieve sort of a humanity they didn't always have when they were younger actors, it seemed to me. I don't know. Does that make sense? It's just something.
Yeah, it does make sense, because you, when you leave drama school, you're beginning. That's not the end. Do you know, they say, I've done drama school, now I am prepared. Of course you're more prepared. You've learned this and learned that. But actually, you're just starting. You're just, you're beginning to learn. And and I can remember going into repertory theatre, different theatres around the country when I left drama school. And I was learning all the time. I was thinking, oh, I see, now I understand, you know, and this, that, the other. And it's a learning process. And hopefully it still is. You know, the day you, as an actor, sit back and go, I know it all now, I'm bored stiff, no one can tell me anything, I can't learn anything. What's the fun in that?
Yeah.
You've always got to say to yourself, of course, that's what's the wonderful thing about acting. I often think to myself, gosh, you know, those poor people that work perhaps in business or in offices, and if they're having a bad time, or maybe they're not getting on with somebody, or, you know, something horrible's happening, they can't escape. It's not going to end unless they leave the job. And then, you know, that's another huge problem to them. Yeah. Whereas with acting, if you're not particularly enjoying the job, you know, actually, this is going to end next week or in a month's time. It's going to finish. Then you can move on. And also, every job is a new challenge. So that's exciting and it's fresh. You know, so you're not kind of just doing the same thing over and over again and churning things out. Every job is a challenge. And I'm very grateful for that, because, you know, that keeps you alive and fresh. I mean, one of the sad things sometimes is that you've enjoyed a job so much that when it finishes, you don't want it to finish.
Yeah.
You don't want to not see the colleagues, that your friends that you've made on set or in the theatre or whatever. I remember when Gavin and Stacey finished, we'd been filming that for 10 years or something, you know, on and off, spread out over the 10 years. And we were all so sad when we knew there was going to be no more. I mean, I cried when they said, that's a wrap for Alice instead. And I just put my head down. And I just cried because I didn't want it to end. And that's what can happen, yeah. And also when you finish the run of a play, you know, I can remember, you know, some plays, you've just enjoyed it so much. You've had such a good time. And now it's gone. It's finished.
This is, yes. Because you get so close to people so quickly.
Yeah.
Or else you hate them quickly.
Well, this is true. hopefully, the former, not the latter.
Have you been affected by the pandemic?
Well, I count myself extremely lucky, because I've got a lovely partner, Michael. We've been together for 25 years, and it's been great to have that companionship.
Yeah.
I'm not a loner. I'm not someone who says, actually, I like, you know, snuggling down on my own. I don't really. I like company. Also, I'm touching wood, but I've kept well. I've had my second vaccination a few days ago. No, but the whole thing has been ridiculous and frightening, and sometimes I have got really down. But I keep saying to myself, we have to fight this, we have to keep going. Obviously, work, I've done a lot less work, and in some ways that's been quite nice. Because I've thought about and done other things. I've certainly been doing a lot of walking. I haven't seen my two sisters for a year, which is very sad. I've got one little grandson. I have seen him on occasions, but only in the garden. You know, and so, yeah, it's been strange. And the jobs I have done have been great, but, you know, you can't socialise at the end of the day. You know, I did some filming and we were in a hotel in Margate, and the thing you all want to do is, you know, dump your rucksack, come down into the bar and all have a drink together in the evening, and we couldn't do that. So, Yeah, so it's been strange, and then having to have your temperature taken and wear a mask when you're not actually filming, and I don't know. But listen, we've all got to do these things just to survive, and so So it's been a mix, really, of good and bad. It's made me have time to think more, look at the garden more, you know, do a bit of bird watching, which is something I really love. So yeah, it's been a mix, and I just thank God that my family are safe and my friends. I haven't had any friends who've, you know, got seriously ill, thank goodness. So yeah, we've got to be grateful, haven't we?
Yeah, I think I read or heard somewhere there was one piece of work you couldn't do because they wouldn't insure you at this particular moment.
Oh God, yeah. Well, that's, I'm afraid that's, as you get older, these things happen. The company wanted to use me, but because of my age, that the insurance was going to be massive. This happened to another friend of mine as well. And the government were giving grants to help television companies. And for some reason, they didn't get this grant. And so they couldn't use me. And so that was sad. But listen, you know, move on. That's what I say. Forget it and move on. You know, there will be other things. I mean, one of the nice things that me and Michael, my partner, did was to, in the first lockdown, we did a little film called Unprecedented with Jeremy Herron for BBC. He did five films and we were in one of them. And we filmed it ourselves on our iPhones at home. And he directed us on Zoom. And that was... such a new experience. When I was first offered it, I thought, oh, I can't do this. Well, film it on the iPhone. Blah, blah, blah. Yeah. But in fact, it worked really well. And we thoroughly enjoyed it. And I couldn't believe how well the iPhones film. I thought, why are they using all these, you know, millions of pound cameras when you can use an iPhone? And the camera was excellent. Yeah, so that was a really good experience. Yeah. And I've done quite a few radio plays from home, managed to do that with, you know, various ways of doing it. And all these techie guys are brilliant. And put a duvet over the window in my little spare room and managed to do it. Yeah, so that's been great. That's been really great.
Now, anything you still like to do which you haven't done yet? I'm going to suggest, have you ever been in a musical? Why not?
No, I haven't been.
Cassie.
Well, I can sing a bit.
That's enough.
But believe me, when you're with people who can really sing, or you go to a musical and they start, and I just sit there and say to myself, you do it, I won't. Because, you know, you can do it. And the worst thing I think would be is to attempt to be in a musical when you're not 100% and then people come out going, well, she was all right, but she can't really sing. You know, I wouldn't want that. I want to feel that I could. I mean, listen, there might be parts I could do if it was a more talking singing. You know, I can always kind of lark about like Elaine Stritch or something and do that. You know, I'm still here, you know.
Or is that, or yes, or Madame Arnfeld in Little Night Music, you know. All that's that'd be fun and bring something special.
Okay. Well, you find that musical.
I'll find one for you.
Okay. Yeah, I'll be there. No, I love doing karaoke on my own.
All right.
Much in public, but my son bought me a karaoke machine, and I have to say, I do enjoy having a go at singing and really trying to sound professional, which doesn't happen often. And but no, I do like it, but I've never ventured into that area.
The other thing I read, I think somewhere or saw you say, was that you'd quite like to direct.
Well, I've done a little bit of, I mean, a little bit of directing at East 15, my old drama school, some years ago now. And I thoroughly enjoyed that. It's just a different, And it actually also give you a perspective on acting as well, because you're seeing people on the other side of the fence, you know, and you're here. And I suppose in my heart, what I really like to do, I'd like to direct a film. And I've always got this thing in my head. And my younger son, Leo, who's in filmmaking, he just says to me, "Mom, do it. Just do it," you know. But I kind of think, oh, you know. And then I think, right, I will have a go. And then, of course, a job comes up and then that stops you. So, yeah, but no, I did enjoy the bit of directing I did.
Well, let's hope somebody gives you a play or a screenplay you really want to do.
Yeah. Well, it was a play that I directed a reading of, a rehearsed reading.
Mm.
And it was fascinating, this. And it was written by a guy who had been a teacher. Mm. And so he had observed this child, I think. And so he wrote this play. And I thought it was wonderful. And I thought this would make a really good film.
Mm.
And I've always intended to try and get it off the ground. But, you know, getting money for films in this day and age is very, very difficult. I mean, you know, 90% of the work on a film is actually getting the budget, getting the money, you know, before you've even started. I might still do it. You've actually put a little seed in my head now. I might still do it.
Right.
Let's see if the seed grows.
I hope so. And finally, what advice would you give to your younger self?
Oh, to my younger self. Well, to be brave, you know, and I used to get, you know, terribly anxious and terribly nervous. And I think perhaps, well, it was inexperience, but my mum, who sadly no longer with us, but she was great, because I used to use her as a rock, you know, and if I was really nervous when I was going to do a play, particularly a stage play, you know, I'd think, oh, my God, I can't do this. Oh, my God, you know, and I would ring her and I'd say, "Mom, I'm really scared. I don't know if I'll be like this." And she always encouraged me, and she used to say, "Come on, you can do it and you will. Now, come on. You're talented, you can do it," you know, and it was great to have that. And I once met an actress, and I was just talking about my mom for some reason, and I told her how my mom would say, "Never say you can't, always say you can, and you will." Mm. And that was my mom's little phrase, you know, that I've carried with me all my life. And this actress, who was a similar age to me, she said, "Did your mom really say that to you?" And I said, "Yes." And she said, "My mother has never said a kind or encouraging word to me my whole life." And it nearly made me cry.
Yeah.
You know, because not every pet mums are encouraging and kind, are they? Or they don't take much notice of what their kids are doing, you know. And Yeah, well, when I went to drama school, I'd say 80% of the students there had fallen out with their parents because they decided to go to drama school, you know, and that's really sad. And there was my parents, you know, kind of waving me off on the train going, "Oh," you know. I remember I was brought up in Liverpool and, you know, London seemed a long way off, and it was a bit scary, you know, because I'd never been to London before, never lived away from home. And I remember my mum said, she turned to my dad as the train pulled off and she said, "Oh, Dad, I hope she doesn't grow away from us." And that really brought a tear to my eye, but she didn't tell me that till not all that long before she died, you know. And but I didn't grow away from them. I always went back and always shared my life with them, and then when I had my kids, you know, it was lovely to be able to take them back. So yeah, I was lucky because I had very good parents. My dad was lovely too. So, yeah, I feel really, really lucky.
Well, thank you. Thanks so much, anyway, for agreeing to talk on this podcast. Very, very kind of you.
My pleasure. My pleasure.
Thanks, Alison.
Okay. Cheers, Nigel.
Cheers.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Too Young to Stay In, Too Old to Go Out. The beauty of podcasts is that you can decide to listen while staying in or going out. I hope you enjoyed the episode, and if you did, please remember to spread the word. Keep up to date with future podcasts and events by subscribing and adding alerts to whichever platform you are listening on. I'd love to hear your thoughts and suggestions on future topics or guests, so do get in touch.